How in the world do you expect to be moving forward? How do you expect to be innovating, to create, to be creating, if your calendar is insanely full of appointments?
Leadership is the ability to facilitate movement in others toward a destination you can describe. I'm Russ Hill. I help build leaders. And this is the Culture Hacks Podcast.
Make sure you don't miss an episode. Tap on the follow, plus, or subscribe button, and you'll get two new episodes each week. Thanks for listening to the Culture Hacks Podcast with Russ Hill.
I had a colleague once, this is back when I was in the media business, who it seemed like his confidence, his ego, his identity was driven, completely defined by how busy his calendar was. Have you known somebody like this? Maybe you're one of these people. But it, when you asked him, like, hey, do you have some time to chat tomorrow or week? Oh, my goodness. You should see my calendar. Oh, it's just so it's crazy. Like, oh, I don't think I have anything. I have this meeting. I have that meeting. I've got that thing. I've got this thing with the client. And he would show you his calendar. It was almost like, you want to see this? Like, look how good I am. Look how important I am. Look how connected I am. Look how. And he didn't do it. What, I don't think it was like conscious. It's like subconscious. Like he had somehow gotten into this mindset that how important you are, how your status was somewhat defined by how crazy busy your calendar is. And the older and more experienced I've gotten, the more that I absolutely hold the exact opposite view. And I want to talk to you in this episode about why I think the people who are growing, who are able to create, who are innovating, who are able to move things forward, both from a product standpoint, a service standpoint, a business standpoint, a personal standpoint, they actually do some very intentional things with their calendar in order to enable them to be that kind of person. I'll talk more about it in just a second. Welcome in to the Culture Hacks Podcast. I'm Russ Hill. I make my living coaching and consulting senior executive teams of some of the world's biggest companies. I love what I do for a living, and I love that I have the opportunity to share some of the insights, learnings, experiences with you in this little corner of the internet that is mine, this online world called the Culture Hacks Podcast. You can find out more about our firm. I'm one of three co-founders and owners of the firm. And man, are we growing. And it's just an awesome thing to be a part of. And some of the companies that we've added that we work with, that we're now working with, we started working with in just the last, let's call it 3 to 6 months, is just insane. I just have to constantly remind myself how lucky I am. And you can find out more about our firm at LoneRockConsulting.com. You can find out more about what we do to develop leaders at LeadIn30.com. Okay, so yeah, this colleague of mine, and every time he would, and he was a peer of mine, this is several years ago, every time he'd pull out his calendar and talk about that, I always felt like, oh yeah, well, I'm busy too. Yeah, oh yeah, it's going to be really hard for me to fit you in, when I was thinking, yeah, my calendar is nowhere near as packed as yours is. And he wanted every single hour of every single day, meetings and conversations and one-on-ones and this, that, and the other. And a lot of, in fact, I would venture to say most of the senior executives that we work with. And now, granted, these are crazy big companies, but their calendars are insanely packed, like unbelievably packed. And I don't think it's good. I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it allows you to bring the value. Well, there are two things that bother me about that, or that worry me about it. One is, how can you innovate? How can you gain the long-term view? How can you see the horizon if you're flying at 10 feet? constantly in meeting after meeting after meeting. And I understand that that's the life of an executive, right? But there are some things that I think you ought to do to safeguard and protect your ability to innovate, to create, to think creatively, and to bring the value you need to bring. So I worry about it from that standpoint. And then I worry about it from a mental, emotional, mental, even physical health standpoint, spiritual standpoint, when every hour is accounted for. And maybe I'm just wired differently, but I'll share two experiences. One is, and I've told this story before, but when we were doing the turnaround project, when I moved to Phoenix, and took over this hemorrhaging media properties that our company had bought in Arizona. And the product just needed to completely change. It needed to be completely overhauled. We had to move a lot of people out and a lot of new people in and shuffle the chairs and change the strategy and change the marketing. Just the product needed to change. The marketing needed to, everything about it needed to change if we were going to reach the level of success that our company expected us, based on the investment that they had made in purchasing the properties. If we were going to hit that level of success and get that ROI, everything had to change. And so as I'm working on that project and helping lead that, the realization comes to me quite quickly that I've got to build a team around me that allows me to skip more meetings, to be able to, because my calendar was, everybody was coming to me. It was meeting after meeting after meeting after interruption after interruption after person after person after person, because I didn't have the management structure, the team in place for them to go to them instead. And I hadn't communicated what that structure was and divided that up in a way that allowed for everyone to have somebody to go to besides me. And I didn't have representatives on my or members of my leadership team that would represent me or our area of the business in that meeting so that I didn't have to be at it or to go do that thing. Does that make sense? And so I realized that, oh my gosh, I've got to build a leadership team. And in the media business, it was, okay, I got to get a solid news director. I've got to get somebody that can oversee that sports property. I got to get somebody in marketing who can handle a lot of this stuff so that they're bringing to me certain things and I'm not having to come up with this. I need to get somebody that has this, that, and all these different areas. I need a solid leadership team that are full of competent, experienced people that can handle these things and take it off of my plate and free me up. Because I'm flying at such a low altitude that there's no way all I'm dealing with are the problems of today. How am I supposed to position this place for success a year from now or 2 years from now if all I can see is the next 3 hours? I'm so caught up in today, I can't even think about tomorrow. Yet I'm accountable for what the results are we're going to produce tomorrow. Does that make sense? And so the way I visualized this was that I needed to pull back on that. I don't know what the crap you call it in a plane, but I needed to get the plane to fly at a higher altitude. I needed to pull it up and be able to go from 5,000 feet to 30,000 feet if I was going to be successful. And if I was going to have like sanity. And so I started building that team. And it took me several months and a lot of work, and I had to just put up with, you know what, it's going to be crappy. Like, our results aren't going to be that good today, and there are going to be problems tomorrow, and there's going to be issues next week, and it's just going to be kind of a mess for a little bit, but I'm going to build this team so that I can pull back on the throttle or whatever it is and be able to get up into the air higher so that I can start thinking about next quarter and the second half of this year. And next year, and our strategies on this, and be able to think about it. And so I did that. I created that leadership team. It was never perfect. There's no finish line for that. There's always issues with it. You're still moving pieces on the chessboard around. But I got a solid and competent and experienced enough group of leaders around me to where I was able to do that. I could finally see the horizon. I was high enough, I was free enough to be able to look out and see the bigger, longer term view. I'm convinced that people who get stuck in mid-level manager positions never do what I just described. They never put themselves in a position to be able to see the horizon and think long term and offer insight and perspective about longer term meaning. And when I say longer term, I mean like 6 months from now, 12 months from now, you know, that kind of thing, rather than just today or this week. That's, and it's company after company after company that we interact with, that we consult, where they want to go from reactionary to, you know, to proactive. Well, you can't do that unless leaders are freeing themselves up to do that. So that's one thing. The other thing that I did was I created space in my calendar, and it was daily, weekly, and monthly, where I didn't have anything. And in today's day and age, what you have to do is you have to block it out on your calendar. And so if this isn't a practice of yours, man, I would strongly encourage you to do it. Whatever position you're in, whatever industry you're in, wherever you're at, just for your own, not just for what I was just talking about, being able to see the horizon and think ahead and think strategically and all of that. You cannot do that unless you've got some space in your calendar. Not only for that purpose, but also for the sanity. I need to be able to breathe. I want to catch my breath and get away from it. I would suggest to you, there are a few different ways to do that, right? What worked for me, and maybe different for you, but maybe one of these ideas will be applicable, is at least an hour or two a day with nothing. And for some people, that's first thing in the morning when I get into the office. For others, it's the last few hours in the day. You find that space, or it's right after lunch, or it's during the middle of the day, or whatever. You find it, your door is closed. Or you, if that doesn't stop the interruptions, you get off site. Like, I had a practice for a while where I would leave to go to lunch, and I would leave for 2 or 3 hours, and I would go to lunch by myself, and I'd go sit somewhere, and let's say I'd go get a slice of pizza, or I get a salad or whatever. I'd go there and I would just sit there for an hour or two by myself. I'd bring my laptop, or I'd bring a sheet of paper, you know, a notebook. And I'm writing down ideas, and I had to get off site. And we've got the tools now. Back then, you didn't have, I mean, you had to turn your cell phone off. So I would turn my cell phone off. Now you can put it in do not disturb mode. You can take your computer and put it in do not disturb mode. I love physical paper or notebooks for this purpose, because I think there's something that it unleashes in the brain when you get out a pen or a pencil or a marker or whatever, and you're writing down. I love using a whiteboard. Like, I have the electronic whiteboard in my office. Some of you have seen that in videos that we use, like on LinkedIn 30 and different things, but or videos that I posted on LinkedIn or even Instagram. So I love that the act of writing, and it's closing the door and it's scheduling that time. And for some of you, like, you desperately, that needs to be an hour or two a day. For others, you're hearing me say, they're like, there's no stinking way I could do that. Okay, well, maybe it's an hour or two a week. Maybe it's Friday morning, or it's Wednesday afternoon, or it's, you find a time and you're just, no one can get to you. And the reason you're doing that, it's not so that I can just sit here and veg. It's so that I can see the horizon. I can step back and think, how are we doing big picture? What needs to adjust, and what are my priorities, and what are the big rocks that I need to move in the next week or two or month or two, right? You're thinking about that strategically. And then for me, it was quarterly, and I would get our team off site, and I was really picky about this. I wanted some place that brought out the creative juices in me. It might be we'd go play golf. And go to a nice golf course and play golf and do 18 holes or 9 holes or whatever it might be, and then meet with the team, or vice versa, those in reverse. Or it might be to go to some fancy resort, which we have a ton of in our area, and rent out a room. And sometimes we'd rent like a suite and just go and meet in there. And bring in some food and whatever else, and get 5 or 10 people there. And you're just taking the full day, or taking half a day, and you're doing that once a month, or you're doing it once a quarter. I'm not talking about, like, some of you, I mean, I get paid to be at quarterly offsites, right? Like, I make my living. at a ton of these things. And they aren't like what I'm describing. A lot of them aren't, at least for these big companies. It's presentation after presentation after presentation. It's tons of people coming in. It's report outs. It's PowerPoint presentations and all of that. Yeah, that's important for sure. But where's the time for creative thinking? Where is the time that you built into that schedule to, we're going to talk about, and there's going to be no laptop on or no PowerPoint slide shared. We're just going to be sitting at this beautiful resort in whatever area. And I want to talk about, we're using flip charts or something like that. And we're going old school on it. And we're just going to talk about the next quarter. Or we're going to talk about where we are this year. Or we're going to talk about what innovation looks like for us. This is a lot of value. The area I'm talking about is actually what we do. And this is a lot of the value that we try to bring for the organizations that we work with. And one of the crazy things that people freak out about when they haven't worked with us before is we pride ourselves on hardly any slides, if any. And then we remove all the tables. You might have heard me talk about this. It's been a long time since I have, actually. This is probably helpful for some of you to visualize this. When we go in with an executive team, do you know what we do? We remove all the tables. We remove all the tables from the room. You know why? Because guess what people put on those tables? Their computers. And guess what they open up? Their laptops. And guess what they're working on? No. And so they've got no place to set down their cell phone. They got no place to set down their laptop. They've got a chair. That's it. Senior executives, world's largest companies, we give them a chair. And then in the front of the room, guess what we have? Flip charts. And we almost always have two or more. We never have a meeting with less than two flip charts. We've got two, three, sometimes six or eight, depending on the meeting. And we're writing and we're drawing different things. And we want the room to look messy. We want there to be no set place that you sit, and we're moving you around. And and why do we do that? Because it brings out creativity. It causes people to think. It removes distractions. It allows them to step back from the business. And we almost always start our conversations with a story or a model or a framework or something that causes them, that has nothing to do with their business. Has nothing to do with, we want to get them thinking macro, in a macro way. Get them to zoom out of their particular department, their particular problem, their particular issue of the day, the employee they're having challenges. Zoom out of that. Look at the big picture. That's part of our job, is to get them thinking that way and to use that part of the brain, the proactive, right, part of the brain, the creative part of the brain. And by the way, that's what we all love to do. It's funny because people at the end of these meetings, right, they've never been with us before. Several of the companies we were in a meeting. So funny. We were in a meeting with a very large manufacturing company. We'd never done any work with them before. And they invited us out. This is 3-4 months ago. And one of my colleagues, Jared and I, he's one of the co-founders of our firm. Jared and I flew out for this meeting. It was on the East Coast. And we just had flip charts. And we had a couple of hours. This executive team had given us a couple hours, and we didn't charge them for it. And they'd never worked with us. And we didn't want to commit them to some kind of big consulting agreement or anything. So we just said, hey, pay for our travel and we'll come out. We did a phone call or two, and they inquired about different things. And we're like, yeah, we'll just come out. We're totally good to work with you. Come out and meet with you for a few hours. And you don't even have to pay us. Like, just cover the travel. And we'll come out. And then we had our flip charts. We got in the room. Literally, this is not an exaggeration, 20 minutes into the meeting, one of the executives in the room, probably 15 executives in the room, senior executives, very large company, one of the executives interrupts us. And he says, I just have to make an observation real quick. I'm sorry to interrupt you. We need to hire them. We've got to have this team work with us. I've gotten more out of the last 20 minutes, like interrupted us and started going. And that led to a significant interaction between our organizations. And we're deep at work with that company now. And all we were doing really, I mean, yeah, there's some expertise and experience and whatever, but we were getting them to think from a macro standpoint, getting them out of their routine, mixing it up. And so the value you can bring as a senior leader, not only the value, my takeaway in this episode is if your schedule is overwhelmed, overrun with meetings, change it. I don't think that's healthy. I think it's keeping you trapped in your current position. And some of you have no control over it. And then that's a whole different episode, right? Because I was you 3 years ago. I just couldn't allow that. It couldn't continue. And so some of you have no control over it, and that's a different episode. But most of you have some control over some of that calendar. And if it's a point of pride for you, like that leader that was a peer of mine years ago, who, man, I'm so busy, whatever, almost like an ego trip, that his status came from how busy his calendar is. If you're caught up in that, snap out of it. Like, you're actually turning into a robot. That is not. The older I get, the more I think, oh, the truly successful, the truly wealthy, so to speak, are the people with the least amount on their schedules. You guys know who Tim Ferriss is? Tim Ferriss, who wrote The 4-Hour Workweek. He wrote some other books. Highly, highly successful, well-known author. And if you Google him, Tim Ferriss, he's got a podcast too, which is highly, highly successful. He interviews some of the most famous and successful people in the world. I struggle with this podcast because each episode's like an hour and a half long. And I'm like, Tim, I don't have an hour and a half to listen to you, dude. Okay, like, could you do that interview in like 30 minutes, please? Anyway, I digress. So Tim Ferriss, right? Highly successful. And I don't know if it was in one of his books. I'm trying to remember where I heard this or read this. I think it was in one of his books. And not his first one, but one of them. And maybe it was in the 4-Hour Workweek. I'm not sure. But he was talking about how somebody was asking him, or it might have been a YouTube video, an interview I saw with him. But someone was asking him, hey, what's your morning routine? This has died down a little bit, a year or two or three, probably pre-COVID. The morning routine thing was a big deal. Tons of books and podcasts and articles about, yeah, you need to get up at 4 a.m. and you need to meditate for 30 minutes, then take an ice bath for 30 minutes, and then stare at the stars for 30 minutes, you know, like this whole routine. Like, this is what the truly successful do. They get up at 3 a.m. and they do the, you know, and so Tim Ferriss was asked about this, or he was writing about it. And what's your morning routine? And he said, if I showed you my schedule for most days, it would bore you. It's like, there's like nothing on my calendar. And again, this guy is now independently wealthy and you know, he just made a gazillion dollars with his books and is living on an island somewhere now, right? But he said, my routine is I just kind of get up and then I can't remember exactly. This is what I remember. It might be a little inaccurate, but something to the effect of I get up, I get a cup of coffee. I might go for a little walk, take the dog out for a walk. I'm just thinking about, you know, what I need to get done, thinking about something I watched last night or read yesterday. He's like, yeah, if you're looking for my crazy routine of ice baths and crazy meetings and stand on your head for 10 minutes and then meditate on this and then do this and do that, and you're looking for me to tell you how insanely busy my schedule is, my schedule doesn't look like that. It's the opposite. It's incredibly free, clear of things. And that's what, and he was making the point that allows me to think. It allows me to create. And not all of us can do that, obviously, right? But one of the things that I wanted in my schedule in founding a company and creating a firm was freedom of schedule, right? That was one of my top two priorities, things I valued. And the reason was because I wanted the ability. My number one thing was create content, right? That was what I valued most. And I didn't have the freedom to do it at the time. The second thing I valued most was control of schedule. Do you see how those two things are related? Well, even if I had freedom to create content and to ideate and to whatever, I couldn't, and to think strategically, I couldn't do that. I was unable to do that if my schedule was insanely packed and I had no control over it. And so one of the things I love about my life over the last 3 years is I have a lot, my schedule's busy. And there are weeks where I'm on the road a ton and whatever else. But most weeks and most days, about half of my schedule is full of meetings, half the day. And then the rest has nothing. It's blocked off. And am I sitting around watching reruns on Netflix of whatever? No. I like watch hardly any television. I'm reading. I'm writing. I'm at my whiteboard. I'm calling somebody, reaching out to somebody. I'm watching a video about, oh, I want to think more about that. I'm ideating on something, which then impacts my ability the next day to bring value in those 4 or 3 or 5 hours of meetings I have or coaching calls or whatever. I now have space to do that. And I'm spending a free hour that, or a blocked off hour or two thinking about that person or that executive I'm going to be meeting with in 4 days. What value could I really bring to her on Thursday? What do I need to ask her? What do I need to, what observations do I need to make to him in that on-site meeting or that call? Like, I've got time to think about that and to go through my notes. And so I'm flying at 50,000 feet and I'm creating them because I built that into my schedule. And I feel incredibly healthy mentally, emotionally, mentally from that. So just a few things to think about. And I hope you'll walk away from this episode focused on what you can control and making some adjustments so that you can bring more value and be healthier in those ways and to have the longer term view. All right. Hope that's helpful to you. If you find value in this episode, just do me a couple of favors. One is tap on the screen to the share button and send this episode, text it to somebody. Share it in a direct message on LinkedIn or something. Post about it. But share it with somebody. That's how this podcast has thousands and thousands of listeners now, is because people like you just share it. And I'm so appreciative of that. The second thing is, if you find value and you aren't subscribed to it, just tap on that add button, follow, whatever it is in the app you're listening to, and you'll get 2 new episodes every week. I'll talk to you in the next episode of the Culture Hacks podcast.
Who do you know that could benefit from listening to this episode? Tap on the share button and text the link to a friend or colleague, or write a post on LinkedIn and tag Russ. Thanks for listening to the Culture Hacks podcast with Russ Hill.